I want to get to the end of this transformation series before we move on. We're on to number 19 today. And the second part of that, you'll notice it's about fire. Fire was what the presence of God was doing this morning. Soon as the band started playing the first song, heaven really opened up in front of me, and I actually saw the river of fire coming out of the throne of God, the fire stones and the tunnel of fire, and I entered into it, and I went to a place that I've only been once before, and it is a place of real sense of the fire, the consuming fire of God's presence, but not a place of fear, but a place where we can embrace that. We were watching Sky for last night, and in it, very good story, but it shows what happens if you don't deal with your past. Because this one guy was consumed with anger and revenge because he felt he'd been treated badly and been betrayed. And another guy, actually in it, had lost his parents when he was a child and therefore had grown up as an orphan. And it showed what it was like. And in this story, when they got into his house, which was called Skyfall, the fire, the whole thing set on fire, and in it there was this bit where they tried to escape through this tunnel, and the fire just came shooting up this tunnel, and James Bond, as he is, dived out the way and was saved. But actually, as I was in this place this morning, I know Mark loves that, but I was in that place this morning where I felt I was in this place where this fire was coming towards me, and actually I didn't want to get out of the way. I didn't want to dive to one side and avoid it. I wanted to stand there and embrace what the fire of God's presence can do in transforming, in changing, in purifying, in refining. And it was very much like, okay, I've got a choice here. I can avoid this fire, or I can stand in that fiery presence and let God do what he wants to do. And we're in a place where God wants to remove the stumbling blocks, to refine and purify us, and he wants to enable us to do the things he wants us to do. And so I want to encourage you, go with this whole thing of fire. Now, Romans 12:1 is the scripture we've been using to talk about transformation. It says, therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And we've not talked about that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God and that which is good, acceptable and perfect. And we've not really talked about that, because actually the ultimate purpose of transformation is that we will actually outwork the will of God for our lives and fulfill our destiny in him. Spiritual service of worship. We are spirit, so this is what we're created for. We're created to have spiritual service of worship. Service and worship are exactly the same Greek word. There's no difference between service, serving God, and worshiping him. If you try and worship him without serving him, it doesn't work. If you try and serve him without worshiping him, it doesn't work. Together, they make complete sense, because our service, our worship of God, is God's will for our lives. It's his purpose and his will. Worship is to serve God's eternal purpose. His will is my eternal destiny. It is exactly why I was created, who I was created, what I was created for, and it will be unveiled when I come into his presence and I surrender myself as a living sacrifice. Many people ask questions. Who am I? What am I? Why am I? What am I doing here? All those questions can be answered when we discover the will of God for our lives and his eternal destiny for us. When it says prove, the Greek word prove, our English words tend to sort of have one meaning, whereas in Greek and in Hebrew they have many meanings. So I looked up the different meanings of the words in this scripture. The word prove means to recognize as genuine, to approve, be approved, and to be worthy. So when we know who we are, it gives us value and worth as God's sons when we know our destiny. The word good means useful, agreeable, joyful, excellent, honorable. When we know that we're doing God's will and fulfilling his purpose, it gives us the esteem to know that we're his sons. Acceptable means well-pleasing, it means prosper, it means agreeable. And when we're doing that, when we know that we're doing the will of God in our lives, we feel significance. we know that we're doing something which has eternal importance and destiny. To be perfect means to be complete, finished, mature, with integrity, virtue, and it means eternal. That's what perfect means. And it's the perfect will of God, which brings us to maturity so that we're complete in Him. What is the will? Literally, the will means command, precept, desire, intention, purpose, wish, delight or pleasure, choice, determined outcome. When we know that we're fulfilling the will of God for our lives, we know our purpose in life. We're not going around any longer wondering what I should be doing. We will find that will when we surrender our lives and find the will of God for us. Who are you? Your true identity is found only in a restored father-son relationship with God. That is what God wants for us, to come back into what we were in eternity past, in the present time, to be sons of God and be in a father-son relationship. That destiny was agreed before creation. And God, when we come into this relationship, will restore the full potential of who we really are. Because most of the potential has been drained away. Potential energy is energy which can be released. And when you stretch an elastic band, it becomes full of potential energy. But if you loose the band, all the potential energy goes out. And the enemy's plan for our lives is to let all the potential energy go out of our lives. So we become loose, flabby, and no good for anything. A elastic band does its job when it's under tension, when it's stretched to around something to keep something together. Our lives need to be operating according to the purpose of God. So the whole purpose of transformation is to know God in relationship and therefore to know His perfect will for our lives. Our destiny is revealed to us in intimate relationship where we know God. Not just know about Him, but actually know Him in intimacy. In fact, the Hebrew and Greek word for know literally means by personal experience. There is no concept of head knowledge or information in knowing. We can't know God in our heads. We have to know God in reality in our lives. And God wants us to know Him and experience Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says there that he who is joined or united with God becomes one spirit with Him. That's what intimacy is, becoming one. And it's so strong, that sense of intimacy, that it's compared with becoming one flesh in sexual union. That's how intimate God sees our relationship. And in the verses before, 1 Corinthians 6:15 and 16, it says that. And it relates that. Now, I'm not talking about that in our relationship with God as that, but actually that's how strong and how intimate it is. It's a really serious level of intimacy in which He holds nothing back from us and we hold nothing back from Him, that we become one. We can't separate relationship from rulership because they go together. It's really important to understand that. If you have a relationship but you don't do anything with it, it doesn't accomplish anything. God wants us to have relationship, which enables us to have rulership. But remember, we serve not for a relationship, but from a relationship. We don't try and earn relationship with God by what we do. We do what we do from the relationship of freedom that we have with Him. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. See, our whole life and our whole destiny was written in the stars, if you like, before we were ever born. And literally it is, things are in the stars. I'm not going to go into that now, but actually they are. God has ordained things before, and our whole life was written in our scroll for us to outwork and fulfill. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. That's how Jesus did everything He did. He knew His relationship with His Father, and therefore He was enabled to outwork the will and purpose of God for His life and in all that He did. So we're not to be conformed to the world, but to be conformed to a new but old image, eternal image. It's something that's new for us when we embrace it, but actually it's been there from eternity. because we've come out of eternity. Romans 8:29, those whom he foreknew, that's us, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. It's always been his desire. Because Romans 8:19, the anxious longing of the creation, that's the whole of creation, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. It's waiting for us to step up into who we really are. His children, his sons, in a relationship with him as father. See, we serve God as sons, not slaves. Religion produces slaves. Relationship produces sons. If our identity is linked to a spirit of slavery, then we can seek to serve God because of the wrong motives and needs and things in our hearts. Duty, fear, position, promotion, recognition, all those things can give us a desire to serve God, but they're all from the wrong motive because they come out of a position of slavery, not sonship. And God wants us to understand who we are as his sons. How can we be sure about our motives? Present ourselves to God daily and surrender to the process of transformation. Because God will purify the motives of our hearts. He will transform us. It will deal with those motives and attitudes, and it will deal with the unmet needs and the unhealed wounds and hurts in us and the unresolved issues, those chains which are around our hearts, which stop us being who God created us to be. God's fiery presence can transform those if we surrender to it. We don't have to, it's a choice. But if you want to be free to be who you really are as a son of God, then transformation is the only way. You see, we can't keep doing things where we've always done them and expect to get different results. Someone said that's the definition of insanity. Because if you keep doing what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. If you want something new, then you have to do things differently. And God wants to change us so we can do things differently and be free from the motives of our past. So present ourselves as a living sacrifice. What does it mean? Well, it can be an analogy in which we actually use that for the desire and the motive to serve and worship God. So we present ourselves, and it's just an analogy, the fact that we want to give our lives to God. It can be an analogy for our heart attitude, our desire. It can be the daily words that we speak in prayer, showing that we want to be transformed, and we speak those words out so that we show that to God. But actually, it can also be an experiential presenting our lives to God as living sacrifice in faith and in reality. A real thing that we're doing in a real place in the presence of God. That's the difference between what we just do here in this realm as a sign of we want to serve God in actually stepping into his presence. We were singing it this morning. You know, I will pursue you. Well, where is he? Where am I going to pursue him? Well, he's in heaven. He's also in our hearts. So we pursue him in both places. And literally, we can actually present ourselves as living sacrifices to God, and it will bring us into the very presence of God. Where is the altar? Because if you have a sacrifice, you need an altar and you need fire. That's what they needed, two things, the altar and the fire. Where were they? In a tabernacle. There was an earthly tabernacle which no longer exists. Now, where is that tabernacle? It's in the heavenly realms. On a macro scale, if you like, it's the pattern of the whole heavenlies. Outer court, inner court, holy place, holy of holies, all that stuff. But also on a micro scale, it's actually a dimensional place. And when again we were singing this morning about stripping everything away, what this is saying is that is the process of transformation. When you come through the realms of heaven into the presence of God, literally things get stripped away, changed, transformed. And actually, as they get stripped away, the veils, which again we were singing about this morning, open up the veils. What are those veils? Those veils are the matrices, if you like, between the different realms in heaven. And so when we surrender, we actually open up those veils and we can go through the different realms of heaven into the presence of God as he leads us. And that picture there talks about the way, the outer way, the truth, which is another veil, and the life, which is another veil. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And his whole life is presented, it says, as a veil. His flesh was a veil that gives us access into the very presence of God. There's a diagram seeing the different realms in heaven where the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies are. So a sacrificial lamb. So recapping where we looked at right at the beginning, because I want to look at finishing off what this sacrifice is today. The sacrificial lamb was prepared by the high priest. It didn't prepare itself. You cannot transform yourself. However hard you try, you cannot actually just transform yourself. You need an external source, which is the presence and power of God, to enable you to be transformed. All we have to do is surrender. Present ourselves as sacrifices. He does the rest. What does he do? Well, Exodus 29:16 says, you shall kill the ram, sacrifice. You shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails, all the inner bits, and the legs, and put them with its pieces and its head on the altar. So there is a process. Slit its throat, it is dead. We've gone through what that means. Skin it, we've gone through what that means. Removing all the barriers and all the layers of things that build up in our lives. Being split open, washing all the inward parts, our motives, the heart desires. Split open right down to the very backbone, revealing the marrow. Done that over the last few weeks about DNA and actually transforming us at a genetic level. The last two bits, chopped off its head, chop off its legs. What do they mean and what do they represent? What I want to look at. Now remember, we're in this realm, and in this realm we pick up a whole load of stuff. Jesus described it as dust on our feet. As we go through life, we end up being covered in junk. Okay? And it's represented by that little black picture there. But when you actually go through the cross from this realm into the kingdom of God in the heavenly realm, you automatically are made righteous. It's automatic. You don't have to do anything. You just come through the veil, which is Christ. And he says, you are right to come into my presence. We can hang around here in this realm feeling guilty, condemned, miserable, messed up all the time, under a weight of oppression, or we can keep stepping into the realm of his presence, pursuing him, pursue that sense of his presence, and actually in that realm, we're always righteous, we're always holy, we're always in a place where he can relate with us and we can relate with him. So we need to step in and keep stepping in. The head chopped off. What does that mean? Well, the head is all about government and authority or rule. So who is ruling my life? Am I in control or is God in control? So the head chopped off is symbolic of me saying, God, you're in control. I'm no longer going to rule. Therefore, I'm surrendering my choices, my rights, and decision-making to you, for you to lead me and you to direct me. So we become connected to Jesus, the head. Then he becomes our head because ours is gone. So we get the mind of Christ. We get the will of God and all that stuff outworked in our life. Luke 24:42, Jesus said, yet not my will, but yours be done. So that's what we're saying. With our head is chopped off, it's literally saying, not my will, yours be done. That was the secret of Jesus' actual whole ministry. Don't want to do my thing, just want to do your thing. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. It's easy when we let God do it through us. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For those wondering, what do I do with my life? Actually, when we surrender those decisions to God, he will guide and he will direct and he will show us what he wants us to do. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. It's a process in which we grow and mature to become more like him so that our decision making is flowing like his. Isaiah 6:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. The government of God will rest on our shoulders. Because now, if he's the head, what are we? The body. And he wants to give us authority and power to outwork his truth. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When we are fulfilling the will and purpose of God as sons, our souls are at rest and at peace and in wholeness because we know who we are. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness, the Greek word for gentleness, talks about a wild stallion having a bit in its mouth and being under the direction of the rider. And when we're under the direction of our King, Jesus, then we have rest. We're not struggling and striving to do things on our own strength and do our own thing anymore. We can do His and find rest and peace. Then, essentially, we can seek first the kingdom of God, which is God's rule in me and you and in our dominion around us in the world, to bring righteousness. His way of being, the fruit of the Spirit, His way of doing, the power of the Spirit can be operating through our lives. You're under authority, and therefore you can exercise authority and power. Then we can be confidently expect that God will add to us all that we need. When we seek first the kingdom and put Him first, He will add to us all that we need. Our legs chopped off, what's that symbolic of? A surrendered walk. If your legs are chopped off, you can't walk, can you? So we're surrendering our walk, our daily life, to an obedience to walk after God. 1 John 2:6. The one who says he abides in Him, Jesus, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now, it's not talking about how did Jesus walk or John Cleese's silly walk. It's actually talking about the lifestyle, how we live our lives practically every day. Do we surrender it to live God's way, or do we do it our own way, using our own mechanisms, our own coping things, all the stuff which we've asked God to strip away? This is saying, God, I want that stuff stripped away. I'm going to walk after you and do the things you want. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, I'm a living sacrifice. It is no longer I who live. So it's not me on my own anymore, doing my own thing. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live with Christ, being joined to Him in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. And it's not even my faith. Is His faith. And how much faith has He got? Everything I will ever need. I can live by that level of faith because He has a relationship with the Father which gives Him total confidence. And He wants us to have a relationship with the Father that gives us total confidence. Because just as the Son of God loved me and gave up Himself up for me on the cross, I can say I love Him every day as a living sacrifice. And I give myself up to serve Him and to follow Him and to do things His way. Now I can walk by faith. We can walk by faith and not by sight. We're not going to be swayed by all the things that are around us because we see from a heavenly perspective. We see things through God's eyes. John 5:19, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. When we've got that intimate relationship, we see what God's doing around us in our lives. We can see that in the realm of heaven, and then we can do the same thing. Relationship, Father, Son, leads to purpose, action, and prospering. Because when we start to fulfill the purpose of God for our life, we will be blessed. God blessed Adam. He empowered him to succeed. Then He went and told him to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth and to bring the rule of God over the earth. And He's still calling us to do the same thing today. John 14:10. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? That's the intimacy of relationship that He wants us to have. Knowing He is our Father, we are His sons. Then the words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative. The Father abiding in me does His works. We become a channel for God to use us to bring His kingdom from heaven to earth. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way we can come. He's the only access point that we have into a relationship with God is through Jesus and what he did on the cross. But what does that mean for us today? It means that we have access into the very presence of God in the heavenly realms. Hebrews 9:1. When Jesus appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. So Jesus went into the heavenly tabernacle. Verse 12, it says, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So he has made it possible to buy us back from everything that we were sold into slavery for and bring us back into relationship. Who, through the eternal spirit, offered himself without blemish to God, can cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we can access the place where our conscience can be completely cleansed, and it's the place where we can enter into the realm of his presence. Hebrews 9:24, Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, we have confidence now that we can enter the same holy place that Jesus entered, which is where? In heaven itself. We can come by the blood of Jesus, not of anything that we've done ourselves, by a new and living way which he inaugurated through us through the veil. This is the veil that we've been singing about. The veil, we also sing about the boundaries. We're not going to let boundaries stop us entering in. These are the boundaries. There's a way through the boundaries into his very presence. That is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Where are we going to draw near? To his presence in the realms of heaven, with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The process of transformation when we step through the realms of heaven is we get cleansed. We get changed. We get transformed into the image of God, so that we can find out what is that will of God for my life. What is it? The good, acceptable, the perfect will of God. The tabernacle picture there, the altar of incense there, but also in the holy place, what's in there? The ark. And the ark was a place where the cherubim covered the ark. And actually, Satan was one of those cherubim. And I always like to think of it as there's one missing. So I have the right to step into the presence of God in the holy place, and I have a right as a son to look into his will, to look into his life, to look into that ark and what is in it. What's in the ark? Three things. Manna. There was a pot of manna. There were tablets. And there was Aaron's rod. What do they represent? Because if I want to know what the will of God is for my life every day, on a day-to-day basis, I can step in to that place. And this is what I try and do every day. Step into a place which is actually the Holy of Holies in heaven, where God's presence is on the ark, and I take what's in the ark and apply it to my life. The blood of Jesus is always on that mercy seat covering the ark, so I've always got access. I can come and make a connection like those cherubim. My spirit needs to resonate and harmonize and agree with the contents of the ark. So I'm coming into agreement with God. And then I can expect God to reveal his will, his word, his heart, and release his authority. And when I step there, I get the thoughts of God. And I ask him to show me, is there anything he wants me to do today? Anything I need revelation of? Anything I need specifically to do? And if there isn't anything specific, I ask him to touch my heart so my heart will see and recognize him around me. Frequency is God's will. These are words God spoke to me when I went into heaven. Resonance is me vibrating at the same frequency as God. Therefore, I can produce harmony, agreement in faith, and then authority, confidence comes. Because when God has told me to do something, I can be completely confident he's going to give me everything I need the authority, the power, the resources and everything else to do what he's told me to do. And that's what I do when I step into the presence of God. The manna or the bread of life is like the will of God, just as like Jesus said, John 4:32, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. So I like to see I'm taking the bread of life, that manna, which is the will of God for today. John 6:27, do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. There's something about when we fulfill that food and take on the life of God, which lasts eternally. The tablets, the word of God, his word, can be written on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is about relationship. His whole heart can be written on our hearts if we surrender and step into that place. So I can see what the Father's doing, just as Jesus did, so he could live. And then I can recognize him all around me. Aaron's rod, a symbol of authority, anointing, and power to do his will and purpose. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I can administer the kingdom government of God through my life with the authority and power in the sphere of influence I've got and in the sphere of influence you've got, so that heaven can first, earth second. That's why I need to know the will of God in heaven so I can outwork it here on earth. Living, sacrifice, transformation changes us here. Transforms us, but also gives us access to heaven. So the living, sacrifice, transformation gives us the authority to manifest heaven on earth. Now, I'd encourage you to practice this. The more you practice going through those veils on a daily basis, you start to live out of the revelation that you accumulate. It becomes a pathway. When I started Access in Heaven and going through these veils, it used to take me quite a long time, because it was like I was going through the process and learning the process of presenting myself, all the different parts of the living sacrifice. Now it's become a pathway of entrance. So I can actually go from here right to the very presence of God around that ark in one step, because I can follow the pathway that's been learned by my spirit to access. It's like when you learn to drive a car. First of all, the instructor constantly reminds you, think about and be aware of, look in the mirrors, think about your gears, and he's telling you how to drive, and he's giving you instruction. But what happens after you've driven for a while? When you drive now, do you actually think mirror, indicator, signal, you don't automatically do it, because you've learnt the protocol of how to drive, now it's automatic. And God wants us to learn the protocols of how to engage heaven so that we can step into whatever realm we need to step into whenever we need to do it, so we can outwork God's kingdom and bring the rule of God from heaven to earth. We need to live on the other side of the veil, to live in the realm of his presence, because earth will respond to change. It will change when we govern from beyond that veil. When we try and do it here, we're trying to do it in our own strength often. We need to live our life in heaven and on earth, dual realms at the same time, not on earth out of the supply of heaven. Because we can keep trying to get heaven to come down here when I can go there and bring heaven down with me. Completely different ball game, and that's what God wants us to do. Now, I'll finish there, but I want to just give you an exercise. So I'd encourage you, if you want to do this, we're going to step into the realm of heaven. I don't want you to speak these words out loud. I want you to close your eyes. Find yourself some room so you can step in and step out. This is some of the process and protocol that what you do when you get into heaven. And if you want to just close your eyes and think about it, if you want to stand, sit, whatever you like, but if you want to engage this, I'm going to just lead this exercise so that you can engage with what happens when you step through those veils. Okay? So if you want to stand, great. If you want to step forward, if you want to engage your body, sometimes it really helps, but engage your imagination and actually see, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to step from this realm through the veil, which is the way of Jesus, into the realm of heaven. So just close your eyes and just engage as we step in. It says, Jesus, I thank you that you have opened the veil. You are the door, the matrix to the Father, into the realm of his presence. I thank you that you have torn the veil. So today by faith, I step through the veil of the natural world into the realm of your presence. I thank you that while I'm standing here in your presence, I am a gate of eternity. I open the gate of eternity in me and I receive the realm of eternity. I receive the fullness of the breath of God into my body. And I encourage you, breathe that in. That my body would take on the reflection of who I am in the kingdom as your son. Father, I engage that and I push it and pull it and draw it into my spirit being. I ask you to breathe into me while I'm in your presence, the breath of your spirit and your being into me. I draw it into my spirit. I become one with you. I step back into the atmosphere of the earth to administer the breath of God. I breathe out the breath of God into the atmosphere of the earth around my life to establish your kingdom. I step forward into the realm of your presence. I open my life to expose my inner being to your presence. All that I am, Father, I make open to your presence to gaze upon. Jesus, you are my high priest. You take my living sacrifice and make me clean. I receive your purity and holiness through the absolute cleansing of your presence. Lord, I breathe you in. Baptize me afresh in your Holy Spirit. Bring me to the house of your wine, to the banqueting table of your presence, under the covering of your government and love. I ask you to fill me with the wine of your love and presence. I drink the wine of your presence. I engage this as provision for my life out of the realm of heaven. I step back into the realm of earth. I release the wine and the atmosphere of your presence into this atmosphere around my life. I release it out of my spirit being through the matrix gate of eternity into the atmosphere of the earth to administer your kingdom through me. Now I'd encourage you, practice doing that. Find the words for yourself, but actually by faith, step in, you will start to engage. And as you step back out, things will start to change. The atmosphere around you will begin to change. You will start to bring God's kingdom. You will be the head and not the tail. You will start to rule, see things changed and see transformed if you step in and step out daily on a regular basis. Where do you go from there? Well, there's a diagram at the end which says all the different places you go. You can go to different thrones and different places in God. But the key is we enter his presence and we engage with the ark and we find the will of God for our life and we come into harmony and outwork it to bring God's glory on earth as it is in heaven through the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the power of his kingdom. Amen?